produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, one and all. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It's great to be back with you once again, and I'm looking forward to our program on this occasion. This last program, we talked about my father on the occasion of Sunday, June the 2nd, being his 100th birthday if he were still living. And so we decided to talk about the role of fathers, and with Father's Day coming up in a week, I would like to continue that theme as we have a program on this evening. It's been a fun week. We have our 2.5-year-old granddaughter staying with us for a period of time. Her father is about to be transferred back stateside with his military responsibilities. And our daughter-in-law is finishing up getting packed and moved to their new location. So we have the joy and the privilege of being able to have our 2.5-year-old granddaughter with us for several days. And I want you to know that it's amazing how much energy a 2.5-year-old has, and how my wife and I were commenting the other day about, were our 4 kids this active and this mischievous? And she swears up and down they weren't, but I'm sure they probably were. But we certainly have noticed that one little 2.5-year-old can keep 2 adults very busy picking up after, chasing down, and trying to catch her when she decides to take off running and doesn't want to be caught. It's been fun. Some nerve-wracking moments, but all in all, it's been great to have this precious, wonderful time with our granddaughter. And that would be the theme that I would like to talk about on this show, is time at home. Now, specifically, as we discussed last week, I've been reviewing a book written by a good friend by the name of George D. Durant, who was very prominent as a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in serving as a mission president in the Louisville, Kentucky Mission, where we joined the church in 1975. And subsequent to that, he served in many, many leadership positions in the church and has a wonderful family, and many of whom, all of whom, have done wonderful things in their lives as well. But in his book entitled Love at Home, Starring Father, there's several great chapters here. And tonight I'd like to delve into chapter 3, which talks about, again, the fathers, spending time at home. So Brother Durant says, when my 3-year-old daughter said, glad as I can be, to me when I came home one night, I thought she was giving a strange name to her new friend. But then I understood as she put things in proper context by singing, I'm so glad when Daddy comes home, glad as I can be. Thinking back on her words causes me to realize again that when Daddy or Father comes home, he comes to the place where he matters most. And what a blessing it is when all the family can sincerely say that they are glad that Daddy is home. When you come home from work or anywhere else, you have left a place where you are of lesser importance and have entered a place where you are of far greater importance. At your place of work, you are needed. But sad as it may seem, there has never been a man who, when he leaves his daily job for another, or when he retires, is not adequately replaced. Things go on quite well without him. As one man said, quote, I felt that if I left the company, It would take a month or so, and then I'd be replaced, and they wouldn't even miss me. But, he said, I was wrong. It only took a week. Likewise, a man's golfing, hunting, bowling, and fishing partners all like his company, but even they could carry on quite well if he were not there. But there is a place where a man has no substitute. Not after a month, or a year, or even a generation. That is a place where they call him father. When he leaves home, he's missed. And until he returns, there will be an empty, unfilled space in the hearts of his family. It is undeniable. A man's greatest contribution is made in his home with his family. Let us therefore be fathers first and everything else second. Let us put a good effort into our work and even a better effort into our families. Let us be guided by the gentle truth that tells us our work never has nor ever will be as important as our family. True, we must earn a living and we must do our best in our labors. But if an undue amount of time is spent earning a living, then there is a likelihood that the living we earn is not the type of living that will bring us joy. We long ago decided in our society that to be a clock watcher at work is not admirable. However, if a man works with vigor while he watches the clock, then perhaps it's not so bad. Especially if, when work time ends and there are no pressing matters at work, he almost runs out of the office or plant, jumps in his car, and heads happily for home. I, for one, love to leave work right on time and hurry home. I suppose the reason for this is that I'm more popular at home than I am at work. When I get home, I hear all kinds of requests. Dad, play ball with us. Or Dad, come and see this. Oh, what a joy it is to come home. Perhaps you're a businessman. Long hours are required of you or the business could fail. Often the necessity of spending long hours at work occurs when your children are young. It's easy not to be home because they don't seem to miss you. But those young years are crucial. Set goals and pray that your business might reach the point where you can spend more time at home. Some fathers in the economic crunch of the times work two jobs. It's 8 hours on one job, then off to another. This may seem the only way to make ends meet. But if this is done to purchase things that could be done without, we make a great mistake. Our children need our time more than they need any less important luxuries. Church work often sends us out and away from home. But by setting proper priorities, planning and delegation, we can organize ourselves to be effective in church duties and to be home much more often than we would suppose. Some fathers who spend undue amounts of time at work or in church callings take pride in these long hours away from home, which they feel is a mark of dedication. Perhaps it is dedication, but in too many cases, it is just a way of not going home. Some feel more confident and capable away from home than they do with their families. We should examine ourselves to see if, under the guise of dedication, we've left to our wives the most important of all causes to which we should be dedicated, our families. Some feel if they devote many hours to their church duties, the Lord will compensate by caring for their families and ensuring that all will be well at home. This does not appear to be as valid as we hope. Faithful churchmen can and do have critical problems at home, one cause of which may be a lack of father-family experience. On the other hand, we can reverse this idea and say that a reasonable amount of quality time spent with our wives and our children will bring us added blessings in power in fulfilling our church callings. By being effective fathers and loving husbands, we feel good about the most important aspect of lives, our families. The father who feels successful at home comes out of that home filled with the spirit of love. His heart has been warmed by the home fires of his own family. He is then able to go forth and warm the hearts and souls of his brothers and sisters. A man who is happy and well-loved at home and who is dedicated to the church receives the Spirit of the Lord. It is that Spirit which brings success in church work. So let's all go home whenever we possibly can. And until we can go home, let's think about the time when we can. The most uplifting thought that I can invite into my mind is the thought which says, pretty soon, I'm going to go home. While serving in the Army in Korea, I was away from my wife and son for a year. I had many reasons to become discouraged. When on guard duty or on some difficult task, I felt as if the world was quite a crushing place to be. But then my thoughts would turn to Marilyn and my little son, who were thousands of miles away. It would warm my whole soul to think, very soon I'll be going home. That thought kept me going all that lonely year. But even if you've been gone only since 7 o'clock that morning, it is still uplifting to think of your family, to smile and say to yourself, very soon I'll be going home. There will never be a journey as important as the one that takes you home. Go home as often as you can and as early as duty will allow. Spend both quality and quantity time at home. Both are essential. Some of us fathers know that we are not home enough, and we say to ourselves and to others, it isn't the quantity but the quality of time that a father spends at home that matters. There is truth in this statement, but we must not let it be a salve to a conscience that says we are too much away from the family. When I was called to be a mission president, I was fearful that at a most critical time in the lives of my 8 children, I might not have sufficient time to be a good father. I was determined that being a father was a more important call from the Lord than being president. That meant even though I would dedicate myself to the mission, I would double my dedication as a father. I knew that in order to preside effectively in the mission, I must first preside well at home. I spent much time with my family, knowing they were the only ones who would still be mine at the end of my mission. If they felt secure and happy in the early days of our mission, things would go from good to better. One of the first orders of business was to throw a big rope over a high limb on the huge ash tree that towered over our front yard. An acrobatic elder climbed the rope and tied it to the limb. Thus, the giant mission home swing was born. With the swing came instant neighborhood friends for our younger children. Actually, I remember driving by their home and seeing that rope swing. It remained for years after he left the mission. A few months after our arrival, we attended a mission president seminar. Each president asked what he felt was his best idea so far, reported on some program which he felt had enhanced the work. When my turn came, I said, the best thing I've done so far is to build a swing. Everyone laughed. President S. Dilworth Young was amazed and asked, what? I described the swing and explained that my major goal was to be a good father. I told of a young wife who had visited me just a few days before, and it said, my experience as a mission president's daughter was a nightmare from which I shall never recover. I felt the Lord had sent her to me to teach me to look first to my family and then to the mission duties. The swing became my symbol of this setting of priorities. Later came a basketball standard and a sandpile. Our yard became a park where I spent much time with my children, and where they settled for 3 happy years. I believe they will forever remember with joy their time in Kentucky and Tennessee. May it so be that your children will often have cause to sing with sincerity, I'm so glad when Daddy comes home, glad as I can be. Wow, what wisdom from this wonderful man about the importance of spending time at home with our families. I look back with some regret during my prime earning years in my careers when my work took me away from the home for many, many long hours. Early on, there was some travel, but as our children came, that workload changed to a office environment where there were many long days. And I look back now about the amount of time away from home and certainly appreciate the wisdom and the importance of what the message shared by George Durant here in this wonderful book, Love at Home, Starring Father. Now, obviously, we all have our own personal circumstances and situations to deal with. But it's nice to be reminded of the time spent at home and how important it is that we do so. I remember early on in our child rearing days of a song called Cats in the Cradle. And over the years, those words have echoed in my mind and at some points have been a little haunting as I've witnessed the reality of how that cycle works. We do learn from experience, but isn't it wonderful when we can learn from other people's experience and improve in our own circumstance? So that would be my hope that those who are younger fathers, younger families who are hearing this broadcast might be mindful of the opportunities that we have, especially as fathers, but obviously as families and as parents, to do our very best to spend time with our families. We've had the great blessing of having a daughter and her son live with us for several years. They now have moved on and have a place of their own. But for several precious years, we had the opportunity to interact on a daily basis with a grandson. And I'm happy and hopeful that that experience for him was beneficial. Certainly gave me the opportunity to think, okay, now I'm getting to do this all over again. What should I do different than what I did maybe years ago with our own children? So as grandparents, many times we do get a second opportunity to spend time with the children and perhaps do things a little differently than what we might have done in our earlier years. The next chapter that George Durant has is called Help Your Children Feel Good About Themselves. Now, we live in an age where self-esteem seems to be at a crisis point. We hear so many reports in the news about teenage suicides, depression, bad behavior, criminal behavior. And I believe that all of this boils back down to a lack of self-worth. So in his chapter, Help Your Children Feel Good About Themselves, George Durant says, the way a child feels about himself is called his self-image. If he has good feelings about his self-worth and about his ability, he will do well in life. Feelings of self-doubt will cause him many problems. Research has shown that the way a young child feels about himself determines to a large degree how well he will do in school and in life. Each child is born with certain limits to his learning abilities, but these built-in limits are seldom reached. The degree to which the child approaches these limits is based upon his inward feelings about his abilities. We fathers play a vital role in our children's feelings about themselves. We serve as sort of a mirror for a child. When our children do something, they look to see our reaction. From what they see and hear and feel from us, their fathers, they begin to form opinions of themselves. The way a child feels about himself, then, is in large measure determined by the way his father reacts to him. School teachers, bishops, scoutmasters, coaches, and others often play important roles in a child's life, but none of these will ever be as important to a child's self-image as his father. The father, and of course the mother, are the mirrors that the child uses in his early years, and then is consistent all his young life. From what he sees in his father's eyes and reactions, the child comes to feel either confident or unconfident, capable or incapable, accepted or rejected, loved or unloved. The child forms his feelings about himself in the earliest years of his childhood. He or she is most blessed if in these young days an understanding father is near as often as possible. All you've really got to do to help your child see themselves as being great, of great value, is to praise them. Let them know that you feel they are capable and special. Sometimes we are too critical. We are too impatient. If only we could learn to praise more and criticize less, it would do so much to enhance the image of our children. Let me interrupt here to mention that years ago I read a book called The 1 Minute Father. This was by the same author that had originally written the book, The 1 Minute Manager. And I remember one of the themes in both books was to catch a subordinate, or in The 1 Minute Father, to catch your child doing something right and being able to praise them for that. Because it's very easy to find subordinates, or especially children, doing something wrong and being able to jump on them and criticize them for it. And without going into great detail, we had a period of time with one of our children. We won't mention girl or boy. But during this time, this individual child was known to have a rather messy bedroom, with clean clothes, dirty clothes piled up all over the room, dishes left around, things a bit untidy, if you will. You could almost hardly walk through the bedroom at times. And I remember reading that book, The 1 Minute Father. And so when I went into her room, oops, I slipped. When I went into my child's room, I looked around and I noticed the mess. And I looked up at the ceiling and I looked at my daughter and I said, "My, my, what an amazingly clean ceiling you have." The child laughed and she knew what I was saying, but at least I was able to pay a compliment. Oh, well, I'm in trouble now. So, a statement such as, "I'm proud of you, you really know how to draw good pictures," can be worth more to a child than a new bike. The bike will someday be gone. The child's feelings about himself are eternal. Let your conversations with your children be filled with genuine and sincere praise. Children need to hear messages such as these: "That was a good prayer. You sure are a big help. I'm really glad that I'm your dad because I sure like you. It's fun to go places with you. You and I are friends. You can do it if you try, and I'll help you. You got 15 out of 20 words right. That's good. Let's work on the others." Let your child know without a doubt that you have confidence in him. Then when he goes to school, he will feel that he wears a price tag which says, "I'm a product of great worth." He will feel that he can do these things that the school experience demands, such as spelling, reading, and just plain fitting in. If you criticize too often, you can cause a child to feel he has little value. Statements such as, "Did you do it wrong again? You can't get anything right, can you?" damage a child and may cause permanent scars. Avoid being a negative mirror that makes your child think he is a nobody. Eliminate from your relationship with him such statements as, "I ask you to help and you end up making a mess. Go in the house. All you do is get in the way. I see you missed 5 words again. You're as dumb in school as I was. Quit bothering me. I've got things to do." A child who is fed such a diet will soon see his price tag reading, "Damaged goods, soiled, close out, half price." You can, as a father, control the things you say and do. It doesn't take more time, more education, more money. All it takes is a great desire to give your child the supporting praise and acceptance and love that his spirit needs as much as his body needs food. Mathematically, your son or daughter probably does at least 19 right things for every one wrong thing he or she does. Force yourself to give equal time. If you want to criticize the wrong thing he did, comment on each of the 19 right things. But the children hear from you almost constantly what's right with them. When an occasional criticism is needed, it will help rather than wound them. I've never seen my son Dwight happier than he was at a certain family home evening. He was 5 years old at the time and a bit rowdy as I talked to the family. I was upset with him and said in a somewhat harsh voice, "Dwight, come over here by me." Believed he sensed that he might be in trouble. As he came closer, I felt a bit of inspiration. "Dwight," I said, "you're a pretty smart boy, so I have something for you to do. It will be hard, but I believe you can do it." I then continued as all the family listened intently. "Dwight, I'm going to ask you to do some difficult things. I want you to go up to those stairs, go in my bedroom, open the drawer where I keep my stockings, get a pair of the stockings, put them on the bed, close the drawer, go in the upstairs bathroom, turn on the cold water, turn it off, come down the stairs, go in the kitchen, get a drink of water, turn off the water, come back in this room, go up 3 stairs and back down. Come in this room and go around the chair. Then you come over in front of me and say, 'Dad, I did it.'" His eyes were wide open with excitement as I asked, "Can you do it?" Before he could answer, his older brothers and sisters tried to help by saying, "Dad, he can't do all that." Dwight's expression indicated a feeling of excited confidence and I said, "Take off." The house was silent except for the sounds made by Dwight. We heard his footsteps go up the stairs. The drawer was opened and closed, then into the bathroom, the water on, then off, down the stairs, past where we sat as he rushed into the kitchen, the water on and then off, back into the room and up 3 stairs and back, around the chair, and then with his mission completed, he stood in front of me. He caught his breath and proudly announced, "Dad, I did it." His brothers and sisters were amazed. I asked him to come over to my side. I put my arm around his shoulders, and I pulled him close to me. I then said, "Dwight, you are really something. I am proud of you. I am so glad to be your dad. You are special." His brothers and sisters said almost in unison, "Boy, Dwight, we didn't know you were that smart." He beamed until he almost glowed. I believe he'll never have another moment like that. Even if he were to someday stand on top of the winner's stand as an Olympic champion, he'd not feel as special as he felt in that room on that night with his family, and especially his father singing his praises. I believe that although he didn't realize it, he really felt as he stood before me, "I'm special. I can do things. People love me. I have great worth. I am a child of God." For years after, Dwight would sometimes quietly say to me, "Dad, remember the night I did all those things? Can I do that again tonight?" The joy that comes from feelings of self-worth can bring a child through the pain of the many tight places through which life forces him to pass. Therefore, the greatest lesson you'll ever teach your child will be that he is special. A child who feels his self-worth can say with conviction, "I am a child of God." Such are the seeds of success, and you as the father have the power not only to plant these seeds, but also to fertilize, to water, and to provide the sunshine of praise that will bring forth the happiness and success of your children as they sense their self-worth. And when you do these things, you'll have done much to fulfill your great role as a father. A beautiful message. I share this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.